Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
To Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on Edmonton Sports Leader 630 Chen.
Flames have pulled even with the Jets. It's 2-2 with 7 minutes left in the second period. Also in the second, Nashville leading St. Louis 2-1. Kind of a must-win for the Blues. I mean, they're five out here in the last couple weeks of the season. Avalanche, who are here tomorrow, leading the Wild 3-2 halfway through the second. Late in the third, Pittsburgh up 3-1 on the Capitals. And the Penguins, even though the struggles they have had, they're still in the mix for a playoff spot. Three behind the Caps coming into tonight's game. Panthers pound the Senators 6-0. Montreal trying to rally against the Lightning. It's now 6-4 for Tampa Bay with 6 minutes left. Islanders lead the Blue Jackets 3-2 in the final minute. That would be a big win for the... Actually, they could jump into a wild card spot tonight if they get that one. And the Bruins have beaten the Hurricanes 4-1.
No undercard tonight. Rempe and McDermott, the main event to open the hockey game.
Both sides. Lazar went the other side as well.
Jimmy Vesey and Lazar. Gaudreau has dropped them with Kevin Ball as well. Now it's 5-on-5. McDermott and Rempe exchanging blows. But everybody has gloves off at the Garden.
As presented on TNT television last night, the game-opening brawl between the Rangers and the Devils. To discuss that and the plight of your Edmonton Oilers, I welcome back to Inside Sports one of my favorite athletes of all time, Jason Strudwick. Jason, it's Reed. How are you doing?
I'm good. I thought he used to call me, well, before he used to call me the greatest living athlete. So I've kind of been downgraded. Thank you, Reed.
Who used to call you that? I did?
Well, I thought you did. I mean, talk about a bad start. You know, one of my favorite athletes. I used to be the greatest living athlete. What's next? He was an athlete?
Yes, former athlete. That's awesome. I probably did intro you that way one time, but I don't remember, but that's okay.
I remember it all.
I try to pump people up for the interviews, but I brought you down instead. I'm no longer a glue guy. I'm just a somewhat sticky guy.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thanks for hopping on the show. It's always great to see you. I know you're doing a great job with Rashog and Brownie on the Got Your Back. And I know you popped on an intermission with me and Rob a couple months ago, and that was a lot of fun. But we love having you on Inside Sports. Okay, so when you see Rangers-Devils square off like that, given all the history there between the two teams, like, and especially as a guy who, you know, you would mix it up if you had to, what do you think of all that?
Well, you got to give the context. You know, the Rangers, Devils, and well, the Rangers and Devils. I think they're like 10 miles apart. Their arenas, they're quite close. And then the Rangers Islanders, obviously, that's a great history. Then Islanders Devils, a little bit less, but still a big rivalry there. So those three teams are all within very close driving of each other, and there's a lot of fans in those areas that are wildly passionate about their teams. So you go back to when Rempe, you know, two games in a row, he'd been, you know, illegal hits to the two Devils players. Didn't give a chance to fight. He kind of was a little bit obnoxious, actually. I didn't like the way that he was kind of taunting instead of fighting the last game. So last night, you knew it was coming. The Devils were ready for it. The Rangers are ready to go for it. What surprised me is how everybody fought. You know, usually you get the two big guys going at it, and then you have four other guys on each team matching up. I don't give credit to guys like Vesey or Johnny Marino, who aren't probably, you know, too familiar with the way of the fighting, but they got in there, and that really builds a team and gets a team closer together. But it was exciting for Hampton, New York. That moment, no one really got hurt, or not that I saw, at least. I mean, it is part of the game, and the players decided they want to do, and they did it. That would not have been orchestrated by the coaches. There's no way that would have been orchestrated by coaches.
Right. I mean, well, obviously, Laviolette knew he was putting Grimpy out when McDermott was in the starting lineup. But, yeah, the rest of the stuff. But that was the one thing that struck me, Jason. It's, first of all, Lazar and VC was technically the first fight because they didn't get kicked out. But you're right. The last four guys to fight, like they weren't going to fight at first, right?
Well, what I thought was really weird, it was Barclay Goodrow is the center, and he ends up fighting the left D-man. Right. Like, usually, you know, generally speaking, not all the time, you're usually fighting the guy up against, like, closest to you. But he's like that guy. He just gets out of the way, and Barclay just skates over to Ball, who's a pretty big guy, and they have a pretty good fight. So, you know, it's another, you know, layer in that great rivalry history. Rangers, Devils, even go back to 94 when the Rangers, you know, they won the Stanley Cup. They had to go through the Devils, and then, you know, just it's exactly like what the Flames Oilers rivalry is like, just so people understand what kind of context we're talking about.
Yeah. So as now look, do you think, and I know this rule's been in place for a while, but you understand what it's like out there and when you might have to drop the gloves or, you know, and as you said, there's history there going back with this team incidents earlier this year for the franchises going back several years. Do you think the secondary fighters should get kicked out, or do you think that's a situation where it's like, hey, you let everybody blow off steam, let everybody come back after they're calmed down and all play the game?
Well, first off, the best thing that could happen for this situation was the fight, because it just takes all the, as to use your word, steam out of that equation. You know, you can imagine the intensity, the machoism that was being fired around in both dressing rooms prior to that game yesterday. So both teams go out, they fight, and it brings the temperature down big time. And both teams feel like they got their, you know, whatever, their pound of flesh for whatever. You know, they didn't like. I don't mind the second guy, this other fighters being kicked out. I really don't. I think that it just, not that there's a lot of fighting anymore, but, you know, it just kind of, it makes a warning for guys. Say, if you're going to fight, let those guys fight, and then we don't need other people fighting, because it can get out of control a bit. I don't think we need that part of hockey in our game. But I love the way the refs handled that yesterday. They decided who was the first fight, and they just kicked everybody else out. Right. You're gone. And there was no discussion about it. Like, you're gone. And I like that. So everyone feels good, and then you kind of get the main combatants out of there. You know, so you could have had Rempe, you know, number two or Rempe number three. That fight could have happened a couple times. Instead, it's out. They're out of the equation. The other demon must have loved it, because they all got to play. You know, there's only four. I wish I would have been on the bench for that. Got to play a ton of minutes, 30 minutes. But it was, I think the refs handled it well. I think the players handled it well. I thought everyone handled it well. And now life can go on.
I'm glad you brought that up. You read my mind, because Rob said that last night too. He's like, all these guys that played 12 minutes a game are going to play half the game.
Yeah. Oh yeah. When you're a guy that doesn't get a lot of ice time, you're always looking like, oh, well, I'm going to get more ice time tonight. Like, when I used to play and a guy would get hurt, I'd be like, oh yeah, you have no choice now. You got to play me, you know? So he'd be out there way more. And he'd actually get in a pretty nice rhythm, you know, because there's no time to think. The guys that play 20, 25 minutes a night, they're used to that. But for a D-man who plays 12 to 15, 17, you're not used to being out there every other shift.
All right. So when you were a Ranger, and you were for parts of three seasons, I think,
yeah.
were the Devils more of a rival than the Islanders at that point, or maybe it was Pittsburgh or Washington or someone? I don't know.
Yeah, no, those are the rivals. So when I was first started, I got drafted by the Islanders, and you always felt like you were kind of like that ugly stepson, you know, like compared to the Rangers. The Rangers had the fancy rink. They had, you know, they'd somewhat recently won a Stanley Cup. So you're like, oh man, we want to be like those guys. And then Dallas and Devils, I don't know if it's a stronger rivalry, but then you go to the Rangers and you realize like you are better than the Islanders. You know, like, at least I always felt I was. But the thing about the Devils, they had quite a history of winning, you know, that recent time. When you look at, you know, the Niedermeyers, the Brodeurs, the Scott Stevens, you know, hell, even Ken Danico, like those guys that won quite a few Stanley Cups together. So we were trying to become what they were, or at that time and had been, you know, previously. So, you know, it was a big rivalry. Again, it was a very short ride to get over to where they played from our place to theirs. And so there was a lot of intensity in those games, and they were a more mature team, a more veteran team. Our would-be stars were quite young, you know, guys like Henrik Lundqvist or at that time Mark Stahl, Ryan Callan were quite young. So we were trying to chase those guys down. So those games are big. And then he's throwing a bomb called Sean Avery, and they really got a little spicy.
So what's I'm guessing it's probably going to be from the dub or maybe even from the AHL. What's the biggest line brawl or maybe even bench clear that you were a part of? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was my first year in junior. I was 18, and we were in the playoffs playing Portland in the Western Conference Western League Final, and it was a huge rivalry. They had a lot of first rounders. Our coach was intense. Their coach was intense, and a brawl started on the ice, and it carried into the benches. And all there was between our two benches was a little piece of plexiglass. Well, that thing went down quick, and all hell broke loose. And I remember I was just trying to grab anyone I could, and it was complete chaos. Like, for anyone who's, you know, well, most people haven't been in a bench clearing brawl, you have no idea what's going on. Like, it is just absolutely crazy. It's just pandemonium. And so finally they get us all settled down. And I remember there was talk we were going to get fined, we were going to get suspended. Like, it was a gong show. And there wasn't a lot of money in junior hockey back then for the teams, not much for the players, but for the teams for sure. And then I think, as I remembered, the Portland was saying that we started and all this things happened. And then a security guard from Portland said, no, this is what happened. And that kind of calmed everything down. I think maybe one or two guys got suspended. But that was a gong show. I've never been anything like that before, but it's exhilarating when you're in it. But you're just always worried. You never know when the next punch is coming from.
Yeah, okay.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for sharing that. Jason Strudwick joining us on Inside Sports. Okay, Oilers last night. I'll just quickly summarize what I said in the first half hour of the show. I don't want to place too much on one game. It's a long season. Stuff happens. But quality of the opponent, time of the year, and then you had not just the severity of the mistakes, some of your best players making those big mistakes. That's why I find it a little bit concerning that happened, because if you can't give a game away in the playoffs, like that could cost you a series if it's back and forth. So I'm just wondering how you frame that. Maybe I'm taking it too far. I've heard from a lot of different fans and colleagues over the last 24 hours about their reaction to the game. How do you see it, Struts?
Well, you nailed it. I completely agree with you, but I'll take it a step further. And I'll say that it was the perfect time for that game to happen and for all the things you said happened to happen, because it's humbling. It's very humbling. You know, arguably the best or one of the best teams in the Western Conference in the NHL just took you outside the woodshed and gave you a good thrashing. And so why? Because of what they did to themselves. You know, you can go through the goals, you know, too many times passing to the middle, a poor pinch, not looking back door, all those types of things. Like, those are things that you should have in place by now. And they were some of your bigger guns that struggled in that game. You don't see that from the Dallas players. So I think it's a great kind of reset, a great reminder that every play counts in the game. And listen, I know that because I was too many times making the wrong play, even though I was trying to make the right play. But when you get out there and you see a team doing the right thing with the puck, moving it forward, keeping it to the wall, getting the offensive zone, not trying to pass the puck, standing still in your own zone, all those habits, they all add up to what would be probably a different outcome last night. So I think it's the perfect time. And you know what I love about it, Reed? They flew home. You'd be upset about it, sick about how you performed as a group, some guys more than others. And then you have the Colorado Avalanche tomorrow night. And that is the perfect time for these guys to come out and take on another you know, titan in the Western Conference, a team you probably would have to beat, either them or Winnipeg or Dallas, to get to the Stanley Cup final. I love it. The timing is perfect, and I can't wait to see how those specific players, but also the team, responds tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to put it. And you do get back out there and play again, and it's not as if, I mean, I know Dallas has won 8 in a row. It's not as if they haven't played bad games, or Boston or whoever. I know it happens to a lot of teams. But, yeah, I like how you put that. I just hope they can clean it up and play with a little more of everything tomorrow night. Are you like, Dallas is good, man. Like, their fourth line might have been the best line in the game. Does that and I said this to Rob last night, that I think the Oilers have come a long way in forwards 1 through 12, that the third or fourth lines, you know, they can still create territory. Like the Winnipeg game, the LA game, maybe they don't score, but they can get out there and build on momentum. It's not just McDavid and Draisaitl that are in the offensive end. But I do wonder, though, can the Oilers get enough guys in that bottom six to actually chip in goals as we get into the postseason? Because, you know, Dallas, they got some skill there in their bottom six.
They do, but I think, you know, not to be disrespectful to the Dallas Stars, but their high-end talent isn't as high as the Oilers' high-end talent. So if the Oilers don't create quite as many goals in their bottom six, it might even help, because those top couple guys for Dallas aren't going to create quite as much either. Now, that being said, you know, I look at that bottom six, there are guys that can contribute, that can score, but they've got to play in the offensive zone. And to do that, you have to forecheck and hit like your life literally depends on it. You have to go out there and just pound away. I think the one thing that concerns me for the Oilers' top 12 versus Dallas' top 12 is that when I look at that Dallas top 12 and those lines that they're organized now, I feel like they're pretty set. When I look at the Oilers' top, bottom nine, let's say, you know, outside the first line, I don't feel quite comfortable saying these are the lines I'd go with on game 83.
Yes, and that came up last night after the game as well. Where does Henrik belong? Where does Kane belong? All those types of things. So that's fair. Before I let you go, is it true you do not believe in puck luck?
I don't. You know what? So
you're listen, like, why is he asking me this?
I know. Bob Stauffer loves it. I get it. But I just can't, as a hockey player, I can't believe that you don't create your own luck, right? So I do think there are lucky bounces. But I believe if you do the right thing over and over and over again, eventually the bounces go your way. But just puck luck happening on its own, I think it's unfair to say that. I know the analytics community, they say, what is it, 40% of the game is attributed to luck? Well, or something in that area. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot of percentage to just say, oh, it's just luck one way or another. I believe, you know, the way you practice, the way you train, prepare, engage the other team, put the puck in the right areas, just do it over and over and over again. You do that over and over enough and do it the right way, eventually some of those things are going to go your way and you're going to be called a quote-unquote luck. But I think it's just repeating the right thing and doing the right thing over and over and over again. So, yeah, I don't believe in luck, because then if it's 40%, then what are we doing out here, right? You just play for 60 and hope the other 40% works out.
All right, fair enough. That is Jason Strudwick, who is truly probably my favorite athlete of all time. Truly, probably. How's that?
Right up there with who we are. Truly, probably, and most likely top 1,000 for sure. So thank you.
You're on the list. Now, this was great, buddy. I love having you on the show.
Yeah, likewise. Anytime, Reed. Talk to you later, buddy.
That is Jason Strudwick checking in tonight. 674 NHL games in his career. So he said he's taken the approach that, yeah, it was bad. But he also says, okay, it happened. Maybe good to get that spanking before it's in the postseason, and a chance to redeem yourselves tomorrow against another very good team, the Colorado Avalanche. That's how Struds is looking at that. 780-496-0063. We'll have a couple minutes for maybe a message or two or a quick call if you want to get in before 8 o'clock. It's Inside Sports on 630 CHED.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers. Go to jameshbrown.com.
Now, after two periods in Winnipeg. Jets leading the Flames 3-2. Jets clinch a playoff spot with a win. There's a couple other ways they can get in, but if they win, it's all taken care of. Kellen, quickly hit me with a couple messages before we go.
Yeah, I got an unknown text that came in that says, love Leon more than anyone, but I'm actually concerned his effort level has been diminishing. Do you guys think he's already made the decision to move on? I know this sounds ridiculous, but I'm not so sure.
Sorry, which player?
Draisaitl.
Oh, no, I don't think he's made that decision at all.
Okay. Steven texts in and says, hey, let's not kid ourselves. It doesn't matter what team we play first. Vegas in the first round is ideal. You can't avoid them or any other team. If they are for real, it doesn't matter what team it is in any round. That's from Steven.
Well, yeah, it's a tough path to the Cup. And again, I think the West might be better than it was the last 2 years when the Oilers went to the West Final and the second round. I think it might be deeper and have more dangerous teams than before. So I guess, yeah, I've heard that attitude before. Let's play Vegas at the start and get it over with and see if we can knock them out right away.
Mm-hmm. J-Rock texts again and says, the Oilers are going to do some damage in the playoffs. I'd rather they get a kick in the pants now than in the playoffs. Go Oilers.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Again, I do not think they're a bad team. And quite frankly, there are probably talk shows in other markets saying, man, oh man, wouldn't it suck to play the Oilers in the first round because of McDavid and Draisaitl and Hyman and some of the players they have. It was tough to see that last night, again, with an opportunity to kind of make a statement here late in the season before the playoffs. But the Oilers will try to right the ship tomorrow against the Avalanche, who are leading Minnesota 3-2 after 2. Oilers now at 4. Faceoff show at 5:30. Game at 7. Thanks to Dave Campbell, the producer of Inside Sports. Thanks to Kellen Kennedy, your studio producer. My name's Reed. Thanks for listening.